As marijuana moves into the mainstream, more filmmakers are taking a look at all aspects of cannabis culture. These days, marijuana movies are about more than hiding from Sergeant Stadenko or trying to get to White Castle for the munchies. Join with us as we explore the latest in the cannabis cinema. All right, welcome back, everybody. Half past, and time for us to talk to another aspiring filmmaker, producer out there. We've got Eric Rice, and I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly, from Druglaud. How you doing, Eric?
Thanks for having me on your show.
Oh, it's great to have you on, Eric. And on your Skype connection, I can see even the little the hands rolling the joint and the logo there for Druglaud. Tell folks what this movie is all about and where you're at in the filmmaking process.
Well, the poster you're describing tells it all. There's a very dark American flag in the background behind the hands. And on the rolling papers, you'll see little kiwis, which are emblematic of New Zealand. And it basically explains how the U.S. influenced New Zealand's drug policies. And we followed the U.S. into the war on drugs, and it's had a really disastrous effect in New Zealand.
You know, and that's interesting. When I think of New Zealand, I think of a few things, Lord of the Rings being one of them. But more importantly to our discussion, New Zealand, I believe, is the only other country aside from the U.S. that allows for direct-to-consumer pharmaceutical marketing. Am I mistaken about that, or do you know about that?
I don't know too much about that, Russ, so I can't comment.
Okay. So Druglaud, the movie, is kind of showing how the United States' draconian drug war tactics and strategy have now are being adopted in other countries. Our friends north of us in Canada, they've got Stephen Harper, who's adopted mandatory minimums and such. What aspects of American drug war is New Zealand suffering from now?
Well, just to give you one historical example of how direct the influence has been, the director of the FBI, Louis Freer, came out here in 1998 after a health select committee told the Prime Minister, Jenny Shipley, to relax the cannabis laws, which she said she would do. And after this private meeting with Louis Freer, they both came out and did a joint press conference where they announced that they would get tough on cannabis. Mm-hmm. So she relegated the health select committee's comments into the background and followed the U.S.'s lead. And today, New Zealand has the world's highest arrest for cannabis and the world's highest conviction rates for cannabis. So it's costing the country a great deal. In fact, we spend twice as much per capita as the U.S. does in their own prohibition of cannabis.
Wow. You know, I've gotten used to the United States leading in so many terrible categories, like, you know, percentage of people that it keeps in prison and such, that it kind of shocks me to find there's another country out there that's harsher on cannabis. I mean, in the developed world, at least, that is harsher on cannabis than America is. That's really astonishing.
Well, not only that, but the New Zealand rates of cannabis use are the highest in the world, along with Canada, and the U.S. is also one of the countries with the highest rates of cannabis use. So it would seem to indicate that the more you try and prohibit cannabis, the more people will use it. So the entire program of drug prohibition is completely self-defeating.
Yeah, we look at the numbers in the United States in the early 60s, there was, you know, like 400,000 marijuana smokers, and now they're 25 million every year. Do you have numbers on how many there are in New Zealand?
Well, it would appear that 1 in 7 Kiwis is a regular cannabis user.
Wow.
So it's a very large percentage of the population. And what's scariest is that, well, not that that is scary, but what is scary is that the New Zealand rate of teenage cannabis use is the highest in the world. So kids are using it. And, you know, I feel that cannabis should be restricted to people over the age of 18 at least. So it's a really big problem that so many teenagers in this country are using it and selling it as well. There are headlines of 12-year-old caught with a kilo of cannabis at school. So, you know, he's selling it to his friends. It's a really big problem.
Yes, we're speaking with Eric Rice. He's the man behind the movie Druglaud, which is a discussion or a examination of U.S. drug policies infecting New Zealand. And you can learn more about it at facebook.com/druglaud. There's a druglaud.com and then twitter.com at druglaud
Druglaweed. So, Eric, what are the drinking and tobacco ages in New Zealand, just for reference?
18 both. And again, New Zealand is really, its health system is burdened by an enormous amount of alcoholism. And this has been linked to crime as well. We point this out in the movie very clearly. In fact, one half of the homicides in New Zealand are caused by people who are intoxicated on alcohol. So the real problem drug in this country is actually alcohol. The media portrays it as being cannabis and methamphetamine, when methamphetamine is a tiny fraction of the drug problem. The bulk of the drug problem is alcohol, and the only problems that cannabis cause are amongst a very small percentage of the population, but yet they associate all of the criminality that the prohibition creates as a cost to society. So it's a very strange game that the media plays in towing this party line, but they definitely are not doing very much to question the establishment, and it's kind of sad. For example, this film that I'm talking about now, I've sent the DVD to at least 15 mainstream reporters, and I've had zero responses. I think it's just a non-issue for them.
Remarkable. So Drug Lord, the movie, is it complete now, or are you still working on it?
The first one is complete, and now I'm working on the sequel. I was in Israel recently filming Professor Raphael Meshulam, who was the discoverer of the THC molecule 51 years ago. Mm-hmm. And he basically gave me the lowdown on the medical advances they've been making in Israel, where they've got the world's foremost research centers. And it's quite incredible. He said, for example, that they've known since the 70s that cannabis cures cancer in laboratory animals, and they've replicated those studies. And what's really needed now is the proof. So human studies are required, and then we would put this whole debate about whether cannabis can cure cancer to rest. We actually need the human trials. But the research is restricted all around the world by the laws. So in actual fact, the prohibition has this other adverse effect on society, where it's preventing the advancement of medicine. So what is happening in Israel is they're getting contracts from Canada and the US to conduct these kinds of studies, because the studies are actually illegal in those two countries. Hmm.
The movie is Drug Lord that we're talking about. And do you have a title yet for the new movie you're working on?
The working title is Drug Lord 2. We might rename it, but you know, as the story develops, we'll see how that goes. We've got some incredible talent lined up. Cheryl Schumann in Los Angeles, yes, will be participating. I think you interviewed Cheryl a week ago or
good
so.
Good friend of mine.
As I said, Raphael Meshulam is in it. And then we have a woman who's the son of the very first person to ever get the legal exemption to use cannabis in this country. Rose Renton is in the film, and her story is quite incredible. Her son, Alex, as I said, was the first person to be granted a legal exemption by the Minister of Health in the entire time that cannabis has been prohibited in this country since 1927.
So New Zealand has no official medical cannabis program, but does grant very rare exemptions, I take it, for some people?
Exactly one exemption has been
exactly
granted.
Very, very rare. One.
And
okay.
The Minister of Health has the power to grant these exemptions as he chooses. He could grant thousands of them, tens of thousands of them. And there are tens of thousands of people in this country who are desperately in need of cannabis, as Alex Renton himself was. And the constant talk from the government is, we're not going to budge, we're not going to budge. Even in the face of all of the overwhelming evidence that cannabis is less harmful than alcohol and tobacco and has all of these incredible medical applications. So it's strange that they can refuse science and fact and evidence and not be questioned by the media in this country.
Wow. Well, I got to say, at least there's one way that we're beating New Zealand. We've got two people that have a federal exemption to use cannabis in our country. Two. So, yeah, we're winning. We're speaking with Eric Rice from Drug Lord, and possibly Drug Lord 2 or whatever the movie gets titled. And let's talk about maybe some what I hope will be some good news. We've exported our marijuana prohibition and our drug law tactics to your country. Do you think that our legalization and medicalization is starting to take root in your country? Is there a political movement for this happening in New Zealand?
Well, I will answer the question two ways. Yes, there is a political movement, and no, there is no traction. There's no uptake of the reforms at all. It's the same stonewall as, you know, that's been going on since our current Minister of Health actually scuppered the biggest opportunity New Zealand had to step out of the drug war matrix. Back in 2002, there was a coalition proposed between the Labour and the Green parties, and they would govern, and part of the Green Party stipulation was that there would be at least a decriminalization of cannabis and legalization for medicinal use. And in walked Associate Minister of Health Peter Dunn with his party United Future, and he offered a slightly better deal to the Labour government. But his first condition of that deal was that there would be no relaxation of the cannabis laws whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And this man has practically single-handedly, dominated the discourse since 2002. And up until this very day, the only real change he's ever made was allowing that one single exemption for Alex Renton.
Wow. So there's not a lot of traction politically speaking, but there's a movement. Does the movement gain traction among the people? I mean, what are the polls like? What do the people think about medical cannabis?
About medical cannabis, there is an overwhelming support. About the legalization of cannabis for recreational use, the polls generally show a majority, some of the polls up to 86%. And in the movie Drug Lord, we show a TV show that we actually set up as part of the production. We got a national debate on television where you could text in your votes or online you could vote to see what the entire population of New Zealand thinks, or at least the people who are interested enough to watch the show. And we had an overwhelming majority of 72% vote in favor of the legalization of cannabis. So the population is very entrenched behind the legalization. It's just the political elites who are basically preventing any progress.
What a shame. And I don't know much about the politics of New Zealand. Is there no citizen sort of initiative or referendum process by which that power could be felt?
Well, that's the interesting thing. There is a referendum process, but it's non-binding. So the government can just reject it. If it was a referendum and it was a binding referendum, the prohibition of cannabis would fall over in New Zealand tomorrow. There's just an overwhelming number of people who use it, and everybody knows somebody who uses it. So you would basically be trying to criminalize members of your own family or extended family. It would fall over tomorrow if it were a binding referendum.
So what's obviously the politicians don't want to see it happen. What's stopping them? Are there pharmaceutical ties? Is there lobbying? Help someone explain that or understand that.
There are entrenched pharmaceutical ties. There's also a misperception amongst politicians that this is a vote winner for them. And I think this is the main thing. Until it basically becomes an election issue, which it never really has, where people are going to vote based on the stated position of each party regarding the criminalization of cannabis, then it's just going to tick over with them in this delusional state that it's actually winning them votes when it is in all likelihood costing the votes.
Well, it's a familiar story that we've heard in the United States, but we're feeling a little better now, at least in our Democratic presidential debate. We got a presidential candidate to admit he'd vote for legalization. So,
yes, I've been following that, and I applaud, that at least there's still the political process in the United States where those things can actually be voiced. And, you know, I hope you guys just, knock the prohibition down state by state by state until it falls over federally. And then and only then will New Zealand have to follow suit, because New Zealand basically is just doing exactly what the United States does. They've followed the United States in terms of foreign policy. They've followed the United States in terms of economic policy. And they've followed the United States in terms of drug policy as well. And so if the United States leads the way out of the war on drugs, other countries like New Zealand will follow.
You hear that, folks? It's not just about voting to legalize in your state in 18 days, Ohio, Or in a year, California, Arizona, the rest of you guys, it's about legalizing here, so we legalize the United States. So once the U.S. is legalized, other countries like New Zealand can finally see some political change as well. Eric Rice, Druglawed is the movie. Follow at Druglawed on Twitter, Druglawed on Facebook, and Druglawed.com. Eric, thanks for joining us, and good luck.
Thanks, Russ.
All right, stick around, folks. When we come back, we'll have time for the Radical Rant. Normal on Washington's I-502 versus normal on Ohio's Issue 3. We've got some updates, and it's not all grumpy. Stay tuned.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Marijuana is not addictive.